Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And I know, and you know, that real estate is not exactly what you ever thought it was going to be until you wound up in the middle of something fun. So I thought it would be great if we brought in an amazing powerhouse broker from the middle of the country, from Nashville, Tennessee. We have Cher Power. Cher, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Lee. I'm excited to be here.
Okay, so our listeners are some realtors and inspectors, appraisers, brokers, and some normal people who are totally voyeurs of real estate. They just love knowing what happens in our world. So give them a tiny bit of background on yourself, how long you've been doing this, what angle of real estate you work in, so they'll have a better viewpoint for how Cher's business runs.
Sure. Well, I started in real estate as a real estate investor. I was buying property to renovate and resell, and I ended up in a partnership where we renovated 8 houses a month, which was a lot of business at the time. And I learned a lot about real estate and about how to look at houses, evaluate them, renovate them, what budgets were. And we hit a snag in our partnership where we needed to distribute properties. And I ended up with 24 rentals and no cash reserves to take care of repairs and tenant needs and make readies. So I started using my license in order to survive, and I had plenty of renovators and investors who had wanted me to work with them. So that got me into becoming a realtor. And as I was going to closings, I would see all these first-time buyers bawling their eyes out or angry or upset about how an interest rate had changed or something wasn't the way they expected. And I thought, that poor agent is brand new and they really don't know what they're doing. And that buyer is brand new. They really should have experts working with them and helping them through this. And I was motivated from that point to start working with first-time buyers. So my primary niche at this point, I'm happy to report that I do have my rentals, and I did survive that bump in the road. But I also specialize in first-time buyers and investors who renovate for resale and build wealth through rental property.
Okay, so first of all, I love that you don't call them flips. Can you tell me why you don't call them flips?
I consider a flip when I tie up a property and I sell it to someone else without doing anything to it. There is nothing flippant or flippy about doing a full renovation. It's a lot of work and it just doesn't fit my experience. So I always consider it renovation for resale. And if it's a flip, I'm going to sell paper and make money from finding the property and selling it to someone else, which I don't personally do that, but there is a market that does that.
And not that there's anything wrong with the people who do sell the money, but
no.
It's just, it gives it such a better feel when you talk about renovate and resell, because I always wonder how buyers feel when we talk about them buying a flip house. I mean, they must feel
yeah.
like they paid too much for something. Just with the vocabulary that's used.
I agree. I think flip, well, just the sound of it sounds lighthearted and, you know, a flip of a coin, it's a very quick, non-emotional transaction, and it doesn't sound like all the work and months that go into creating a house that somebody's going to love.
Especially when you talk about the way that you are so focused on really caring for people in their real estate, when you talk about the first-time buyers who deserve good expectations and deserve good education, you can't be flippant about their real estate needs. And that's a lot of times who's buying these houses that have been brought back to life.
Absolutely. The ideal is that it is an entry-level buyer. And of course, people do renovate in higher markets, and certainly they improve neighborhoods one house at a time wherever they're doing a renovation. And it's recycling. I see it as a very green thing because you're not putting tons and tons of debris into landfill. So it's a win-win. And for a buyer getting a new home to them, that's been lovingly restored in some cases or renovated in others, depending on the historic value and price point, It's a spectacular experience and it's very emotional to me. I love the experience. I never get tired of it.
All right. So knowing that you have worked two different distinct parts of real estate, one being the investment side and one being the regular, normal, we'll just call it the normal real estate side where you have a human bias and stuff. We won't call investors human because, you know, mostly spreadsheet people. So thinking about that, let's talk about, and by the way, dear listeners, Cher has so many stories that there's probably going to be a part two. So you should make sure you go ahead and hit the subscribe button now. So I want to talk about the investment side. I'd love to know, first of all, in our premise of crazy shit, we love talking about the things that you never expected to see or to experience in real estate. And we also want to know how things could be better. So as somebody who has specialized in this market, you already mentioned that you inherited a portfolio with no cash reserves. So you had like an emotional business moment there, obviously, of probably not rock bottom, but of holy smokes, I'm all the way in, here we go. So I'd love you to tell us the crazy things you've seen on the investment side, but also to tell our listeners that when they're ready to be an investor, I'd love for you to tell them the best highlights of information they should be focused on as they get into what you've done for years.
Okay, so some crazy stuff that's happened. I guess the worst experience I ever had in looking at investor property is when I went to show a property and it was very inexpensive. It was a $30,000 property in Nashville, which is way, way low. And we walked up to the door and my client said, I'm going to run back and grab my notepad and my measuring tape. I said, okay, I'll go ahead and unlock the door. So I unlock the door and I walk in and Lee, I am not exaggerating. I wish I was. Hundreds of cockroaches fell on my head, in my clothes, big, massive to teeny tiny, myopic little creatures. And I was wearing a coat and they got behind the neck of my coat. They were in my hair. I have long hair, as you know. They were in down, they fell into my boots. It was during winter. There's my client out at his car coming back toward me, and I am jumping around screaming, tearing my clothes off. I wish I was exaggerating. It was such a humiliating moment because I was so, I don't usually shriek like a girl. I mean, you know, that's just, I was shrieking. I was jumping around. I was, you know, brushing my hair and shaking my head and tearing off my clothes and my coat and my boots. And it's, you know, it was freezing outside. And he's like, what's going on? What's going on? And he walked to the door and he looked and there were roaches just all over the ground running everywhere. And he was horrified. So he got bug spray out of his car and just sprayed me massively. And I was down to, you know, like a camisole and pants. And then I was like, I can't even, I've got to go home. I've got to shower. I cannot have to go. So that's the worst. I can't watch that Indiana Jones movie where he sticks his hand into that crevice and there's all those, you know, spiders and scorpions and snakes and everything to get. I can't remember what he pulls out. I can't watch that because it just triggers this physical revulsion. I just, oh my gosh, it was so bad.
And you know, you can't watch classic MTV either. Do you remember those little shorts with Joe's apartment? With
yes, the, I can't.
No. I loved those, but I don't know that I can watch it again now. I need to ask though, as a realtor, please, for the love of God, tell me this house was not occupied.
This sad story is that it was an evicted family, and we were looking at it as an investment because they had foreclosed on the landlord who had not paid, and the family had to be evicted, and they were living in that home like that. And that's one of the most tragic things to comprehend. They did have children. It is a shitty thing that happens in real estate that you do see hoarders and you will see families that live in ways that it's heartbreaking. And poverty, you know, the house looks fine from the outside and it's not always visible until you walk in. And when you're an investor or you're showing investment property, you are going to see sooner or later houses where people are living with holes in the floor to the crawl space or basement, wiring where they've got one plug that works for three rooms and, you know, they have one working toilet if they have more than one bath. And it's just, it's, there is a heartache that goes with buying destitute property.
Well, and it's also the reason you see so many really good realtors out there that support Habitat for Humanity, because there's going to be a solution for families that are stuck in situations like that, because sometimes it's the only thing they can afford, and the landlords could do a lot more in some instances. It's not just the tenants who cause the problem. It's years of neglect and poor management of a property that leads to it. But it is eye-opening when you see the things that we see.
Yes. And with elderly as well, a lot of neighbors who, if they don't check in on their neighbors and they don't know what's going on, there are a lot of elderly people in particular who over time, they can't see as well. They can't keep their places clean. They tend to stay in one room and they could be without heat and water and people don't even know.
That's a great point. So, all right, all you listeners, you need to call Meals on Wheels. You need to call Habitat and see what you can do in the area where you live in case somebody else has a house that's raining cockroaches. But if you never watched Joe's Apartment, you should probably go look it up because they're still pretty hilarious, except to Cher. Cher's not going to watch it. Okay, so
I will not.
and I also have to ask, because it seems pretty coincidental that your guy had to walk back to the car, get a notepad, right when the raining cockroaches happened. He didn't set you up, did he?
Oh, no. He didn't, and he's still my client today. So we got off to a rough start, but we still buy property together. I will say I never go in a house without using my toe to push the door open, and I don't let my clients walk in ahead of me so that they don't have that experience. Because it has happened since, not to that degree, where things have fallen, you know, a bug or two or spiders are in the doorway or whatever. But by kicking, you know, toe pushing the door open, I've managed to let them fall on my leg or, you know, onto the ground and not onto me.
But I guess after hundreds of cockroaches, it's all in perspective. You don't care about one little old spider now.
Oh, Lord, no, that's like, that's kindergarten.
Okay, so tell us something else that's happened in investor world that also has a note for people to think about.
Well, this one was very interesting and very frustrating. I had a client who had talked with an owner of a property, and he had an agent. They ran into each other, and my client decided he wanted to see the property, so I went over to show it. And there it was a rental, and the tenant did not want the property shown or sold. He was given 24-hour notice per his lease. So he answered the door stark naked.
Well.
And, oh yeah. And refused to close the door, refused to move out of the way. His realtor was there going, man, put some clothes on. And I'm like, God. And so he said, well, I'm in the middle of getting ready for work, so you guys need to come back another day. So we did this two or three more times, going back to Naked Guy. And we still call that house the Naked Guy house, even though my client has renovated it and resold it to a first-time buyer. That was our Naked Guy house experience. And this guy did it three times. And then we told the realtor, we need to buy the house with the tenant out of it, and we'll, you know, we can't even get in to see it. We're not going to be able to write an offer. Although there are a lot of people who market rentals and don't want the tenants disturbed, and they'll want contracts, you know, with a contingency to see inside after acceptance. And I encourage my clients not to do that, because the risk is that now the seller is stuck on a number, and usually when you go inside, you're going to find things that might adjust what you feel the property is worth, and it's much harder to negotiate at that point than when you do it from the front end. So unless there's absolutely no other way, we're really going to want to see the property inside before we write an offer.
And if you're a normal person that's listening, this is easily why we tell y'all, if you are wanting to sell an investment property, we prefer it to be vacant. right here.
Absolutely.
Cher is right. We can get you a better market price when the buyer can get a full assessment of its condition and they're not inheriting Mr. Naked Man. And I will say, though, Cher, you said you couldn't really see it, and I think you did see it. You saw it too many times, and so the wrong kind of showing. Let's just say it was the wrong kind of showing.
It was definitely the wrong kind of showing.
Although maybe he was an exhibitionist, and this was good for him. So there's also different people in the world, and they enjoy different experiences.
Well, I can tell you it wasn't an enjoyable experience for me, but it was very entertaining for my client and I, and it was several years ago, and we still joke about it.
So see, you had an ongoing conversation topic. You never are at a loss for small talk. There's so many benefits here, but by the same token, investor people, when your tenant's out, we can lock and load. We are glad to lock and load when the tenant's out.
Right. And if they're not going to cooperate, we've actually asked the seller to offer money for them to leave for the day or for the weekend. And we do that frequently with, if I have a property that has tenants in it and my client wants to sell it, then we negotiate with that tenant to be gone for a weekend. We have it professionally cleaned and, you know, do everything we can to make it easy for the tenant to say yes.
See, there you go. Going from too much to yes.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
All right, Cher. So if anybody is listening to this and they need either an amazing representative in Nashville, Tennessee to help with their investments, or maybe they need to talk to you about coaching them on how to become a better investment realtor or to be an investor, how can they find you?
Well, I have a small boutique company called Urbane Residential Specialists, and they can look me up on Facebook under Urbane, U-R-B-A-N-E, or they can reach me through my website and either through my name or through Urbane Residential Specialists.
And look, people, I know you've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. I know because I can see through your listening device that you did not write any of that down, but all of Cher's contact information is in the show notes for this episode, so you can reach out to her anytime, and you'll be amazed at the level of expertise and service you received. Cher, thank you for being on the podcast, and listeners, you should make sure to subscribe for more because there's going to be a part two with Cher, and you don't want to miss it.
Thank you, Lee. It's been lots of fun.
And if you have your own story to tell about something to do with real estate, give me a shout at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks to be featured in a future episode. Until then, we'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.